What a majestic song. Be to our God forever and ever and ever. Amen. What a God we serve. He's awesome in this place. He's awesome in our hearts and our lives. Every day that we wake up, we ought to praise him. We ought to give him thanks. We ought to bow before him and say, Lord, none of me and all of you. Amen. This morning, if you haven't already picked up on the title for the message, it's a very, very simple message. Purpose. What's your purpose? Have you come to know your purpose in this life? Have you come to know what God's purpose is for your life? Because a lot of the time there's two different aspects to purpose in life. It's the purpose we think we have, and it's the purpose God knows we need to have. Who wants to follow God's purpose rather than their own? Amen. And that's what I'm here to share this morning in this message. But before we do, I'm just going to open in prayer and just give this time to the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are awesome. You are glorious. You are powerful. And we offer this time to you, Lord Jesus, as a living sacrifice. We offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice at this time as we share your word, as we learn, Father, from your scriptures, Father. And we just surrender this time to you, Lord, as you speak your words through this vessel, Lord. I can't speak the words in my own strength that need to be spoken this morning. So, Lord, I require your presence. I require the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me. And likewise, Father, the congregation can't hear what is being said unless the Holy Spirit is revealing the truth to them. So we just pray for those two things, Father God, that the word would be preached by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and the word would be received by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, so that we can live life to your glory, and we can offer you glory in everything that we do and say. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. So this morning, this message, I've been thinking of how I was going to structure this message, and God said, don't worry about how you're going to structure it, I'll fix it. So that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to flow. So just excuse me if I get off on tangents and things. But I want you to understand that God had a purpose from the very beginning, and that was to commune with his prized creation, mankind, humanity. He set Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden so that they could fellowship together and they could fellowship with him, a beautiful love triangle, if you like. But as you all know, sin entered the world. The serpent came and deceived Eve, Adam and Eve, and the lights, as it were turned off. Sin entered the world. Transgression and iniquity entered into a world that was beforehand beautiful, peaceful, and sinless, and eternal. Amen. And God came up with this purpose, this dedicated plan when this occurred. And even I believe God knew this was going to occur, and it happened and it was predetermined. But when we look at Peter in the book of Acts, he shares a sermon in Acts chapter 2. And part of that sermon to the people said that Jesus was delivered by the determined purpose, by the determined purpose of God. And it was very, very deliberate how God sent his Son, his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to seek and save that which was lost, to bring deliverance from sin, to bring hope where there was no hope, and to bring a future where there was no future. And this morning, I just want to share, firstly, God's purpose of salvation for you and for me, and for a world that is lost, hurting, and dying. This determined purpose that God would stop at nothing to restore that fellowship that was broken in the Garden of Eden. Aren't you glad he decided to do that? Aren't you glad this morning that Jesus Christ wants to fellowship with you? He wants to commune with you. He wants to communicate with you and to show you things to come and to lead you into the truth that he is. You know, in Jeremiah 29:11 is a very well-known passage, and I'm pretty sure most of you could quote it. But I'm just going to say that God knows the thoughts that he has for you. He knows the thoughts and the plans that he has for you. It's thoughts of peace. It's not thoughts of evil. And he wants to give you a future and a hope. This comes from a prophet. His name was Jeremiah. He come from a prophet of doom, as it were, a prophet that was preaching pending judgment upon a nation. No one wanted to hear what he had to say. He was persecuted because of it, and he at times would have got disheartened. But even in the midst of all of this, he desired in his heart, when it came down to it, to preach the word of God and to prophesy what God's word was to a nation that was right on the edge of judgment, which did eventually come. But we look at Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, that he was so broken over the nation that had fallen away so far. But then we can look through Jeremiah's heart into God's heart, and it's no different for you and me, that God looks down on this world that we live in and he's so broken. He's so broken about all of the things that are going on in this world. I remember back to the passages in the New Testament and the shortest verse in the whole Bible. Does anyone know what it says? Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Jesus wept. He was broken. And this is the purpose of God. He was broken when he lost, or when humanity rejected him. He was broken and he wept. But praise God, his purpose was to send his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, so that those who didn't have life would have life. That those who walked in darkness would no longer have to walk in darkness, but could be recipients of those people that would walk in the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. Do you want to walk in his light? Do you walk in his light this morning? Yes, you do. If you know Jesus, you're walking in his light. You have the availability for him to be a lamp unto your feet. So don't lean to your own understanding. Know that he desires to lead you and guide you. And you will hear a voice behind you saying, within you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Hand in hand with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he has chosen you from the very beginning. You are a chosen people. You are a chosen generation. In 1 Peter, and I'm just going to read this passage, 1 Peter 2, it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people, or are a people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So you were the have-nots before Jesus, and now you are the ones who have. We are the ones who possess the inheritance that he desires to give to each one who places their trust in him. Romans says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And part of that salvation message, that is the core of the purpose of our God. The purpose wasn't just to show off in front of us or to big note himself, but his purpose was to restore that which was separated, to bring reconciliation, to look at all of the transgressions and the iniquities of us all and turn away from it because of his son dying on the cross. That's the only way he could turn away, because Jesus stepped in the gap for you and for me. That's the purpose of our God. If you're asking, what's the purpose of God? The core purpose was you, was me, was all who come to him, and all who don't come to him. His purpose was for his creation to be restored back to himself, to bring light into the darkness. His purposes are beyond our comprehension. When we start looking deeper into this, we look that God's purpose was to make the dead alive again. It was to make the broken whole again. His purpose was to make the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, the ones who were lonely to have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That's his purpose. It's all tied up within the salvation gift, the gift of salvation. It's all tied up within there. And as we look at all of the purposes of God within our salvation, if you're understanding what I'm saying, he wants you to live a holistic, full life, bringing glory to him. in all things. Amen. So that's God's purpose. God's purpose is to restore that which was lost. Now that's important, but I can tell you right now that God's got that all under control. He knows his purpose, so we don't have to teach him anything. He's got that under control. What we haven't sometimes got under control is our purpose. The purpose in our life. What are we here for? What are we supposed to be doing? What are we supposed to not be doing? And how can we step into the purposes and the will of God for our lives? So when we're looking here, one point that I thought about when I was thinking, what's my purpose in life? Do I have a determined purpose like God had a determined purpose or has a determined purpose? Or am I a bit casual? Am I say, she be right, mate, I'll just let things be. It is what it is. We sometimes fall into that. But I believe we have to firstly possess a determination in ourselves to follow the purpose of God, the plan of God, the blueprint that God has for us, for our lives. Would you agree? We've got to have a determination. You know, Jody, the other day we were traveling back, and I'll just share this short story as an illustration. We're traveling back from Tamworth, and we were just probably 34, 35 kilometres, whatever it was, out from Glen Innes. And we're going through a beautiful piece of road, and it was a little causeway. And there's this little creature in the middle of the road going like that. And we drove past, I go zooming in the little Tonka truck, and Jody said it was a feral cat or something, and I said, I don't know, I wasn't going too quick, but I was going, too quick to see. And suddenly we passed it, and then Jody said, it was a joey. It was a kangaroo, a baby 3-month-old kangaroo. And the reason I know it was about 3 months old is we turned around, and this was determined purpose of Jody, not the determined purpose of Anthony. I said, I haven't got time to turn around and go and pick up a joey. So, and I was quite convicted later after that. So from now on, when I'm on the road and I see that, I'm going to stop. But the determined purpose of my wife in this situation made me try to find somewhere to pull over, dodging semi-trailers and cars that were coming. So I found a driveway. Jody jumps out of the car, out of the truck, runs probably 100 metres with her heart condition, and goes and grabs this little joey in her little jumper and brings it back to the truck, sits in the truck and says, let's get this joey to some help. So we ring Glen Innes, see if there's any wildlife carers. There was no success there. So we knew, obviously, wildlife carers here. So to cut a long story short, we took the joey to, some of you may, and I'm sure she won't mind me mentioning it, Betty Bausch, I think that's her surname. She's a wildlife carer here. We brought the joey alive and well over to her. And the next day, Betty brings the joey back to Jody, because Jody was really emotional about this. If you know Jody, you know she's very passionate and very, very emotional about things at times, and she's very caring and loving. And Betty bought the joey the next day and said, we think he's going to be all right, because he went into ICU. Do you realize they have ICU for wildlife? And I said, well, do you need my Medicare card? Do you need my health insurance? So to cut this short, long story, we've got the joey's all right. All he had was a few grazes, and he did have a fracture in one of the legs, but we believe he's going to be okay, and he'll go through the normal processes. But my point of telling you that little story wasn't just to say this or that, but it was to demonstrate determination, passion, purpose. Jody had a purpose and a determination. I admit here today that I didn't. I probably, if I was by myself, I probably, because I didn't really see it as she did, I probably would have just kept driving like all the other trucks and all the other cars that do. But because Jody was determined for that joey, there's hope. That joey would have got hit by a truck or a car eventually. It would have got hit. Or even if it didn't get hit, it probably would have succumbed to a predator. So it was doomed. Can you see the the type? Can you see the analogy or the example of we were doomed? We were like that Joey on the road because of our sin, because of the accusations of the enemy, because of our flesh. We had no hope. But the Good Samaritan, Jesus, came. He pulled his truck over. He ran down a lot further than 100 meters. It cost him a lot more. It cost him his life to come and to pick us up and wrap us up, to put us close to his heart. Because you know those Joeys, they need to hear the heartbeat. They love the heartbeat. And I said, Joe, they're not going to be much good with your heartbeat. It's all over the place. But that's where it's at. We want to hear the heartbeat. We want to hear God's heartbeat. We want to live to his heartbeat. So the step one of fulfilling your purpose, step one is to reside in his presence, to walk with him, to know God, to acknowledge God, to appreciate God. I seen a slide up there this morning in the announcements, to know God and make him known. Step one of knowing your purpose is, I believe, that's one. These aren't in any particular order, these what I'm going to share with you. But to know God, there's nothing greater than that. I can know everything. I could do 50 years at a university and know and have every degree under the sun. But if I don't know Jesus, I know nothing. If I don't know relationship with Jesus and his people and have the heart of the weeping prophet and be broken over sin and to be broken over people who are lost and to have a tenacity in my heart that I'll stop at nothing to pull that vehicle over and go and save this, in this case it was a Joey, in our case in real life it's people. We might think, oh, that poor Joey, but do we think those poor people out there that are marching on in this world not knowing the truth that can set them free? We need to understand that we have to know God in order to fulfill the will of God, to fulfill the purpose of God. We need to know him, and we need to praise him. We need to worship him. The songs this morning, great job, Joy. Since I didn't communicate with you until yesterday afternoon, well done, because that's the Holy Spirit. Those songs, I didn't pick those songs, but they were related to what we were sharing and what I believe that God wanted to share today. So we praise, we worship, and you know what? In all of that, we rejoice. Paul said, rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. In other words, it's very emphasized. Let's rejoice in the Lord. To know our purpose, we need to pursue our God. We need to pursue him with all that we are. We need to pursue him in prayer. We need to pursue him in fellowship. We need to pursue him in his scriptures, in the word of God, because the word of God is life-changing. I was speaking to someone earlier in the week, very close to me. I can't say who it is because I don't want to embarrass the person. But she is just coming back online with God after many years. She's had some tough times in her life. Her husband and her aunt really seeing eye to eye, and this is a stepping stone that has caused her to come back, or coming back to the Lord. And she said, Anthony, you know, I've never thought I could get back to God this close again. I'm starting to hear his voice. I'm starting to have things in my heart. I'm starting to get a peace back again, getting all of this back. So she'd lost her purpose of life, because her purpose of life is to, as a child of God, is to worship him and to fellowship and to walk in his peace, even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of challenges and hurts, because we will have them. Even though he says he knows the thoughts he has for us, that for peace, do we always have peace? No, we don't. There's times where we don't have peace, but I can tell you, we can have peace in the midst of the storm. We can have peace when the storm rages all around us, and we can anchor down so that that storm can't move us, that we will stand and be steadfast. Just like having that determined purpose that God had to send his son, we can have a determined purpose to live this life for him, no matter what, no matter what comes at us. So be encouraged that as we glorify God and continue to glorify God, which is our ultimate purpose,
as we glorify him, we need to be in his service continually, at his service continually. Amen. Have you ever been to a fancy restaurant, or you just been to a normal restaurant? Who's been to a fancy restaurant? Yeah? I haven't, but I've seen it on TV. So when you go to a place like that, the waiters, the service is over the top. It's amazing. Like if someone does this napkin thing over my leg, I'll just throw it off. But all of this fancy service, that's what we need to do with the Lord. Lord, I just want to serve you. I want to serve in your house. I'm going to have a determined purpose in my heart and in my life that there's nothing that's going to stop me from serving you, from using the gifts that you have blessed me with and not hiding them and shutting them up. When we were pastoring the church, we pastored the church for about 9 years, which was an absolute privilege and honor, and I didn't do everything perfectly, far from it, but during that time, I seen that there were certain people who had absolute God-given powerful gifts that just refused to use them. They were just sitting, they were just pew sitters. And the impact that some of these folk could have made would have been, there wasn't a lot of them, but the few that there was, most people in the church did. But there were certain people that said, if only. And certain times I would go and ask someone, did you want to do this? And let me pray about it. You know what? Nothing wrong with praying about something, making sure God wants. That's godly. But for me, if God has given me a gift to preach, or if God has given me a gift to play music, or if God has given me a gift to do anything, and I know it's from him, I'm in relationship with him, I'm doing, you know, doing life with him, yeah, I could have a short prayer about it, but ultimately it's not my decision, it's his. And I will always say yes. Sorry, that's just who I am. I'm not saying that's who you have to be, but that's just who I am. If God has given me something, I will use it. I will use it not for my own benefit, but for the benefit of his kingdom. And I just want to encourage you. I don't know if someone needed to hear that this morning, but that you've got something that you've been holding back from, just go for it. Go for it. Allow the Lord to use you and to make an impact in someone else's life. Throughout the passages of Scripture, or throughout Scripture, we see men and women of the Bible that some understood their purpose, some took time to find their purpose, and some just knew their purpose. And I guess some examples of that, and before I go on to the main ones I want to share, I will just want to touch on King Solomon as an example. He said something so wonderful when God asked him, what do you want me to give you? What did he ask for? Wisdom. He asked for wisdom. Do you reckon that pleased God? Of course it did. It definitely pleased him. And Solomon, from that time, was the wisest man who ever lived and made all of the most wonderful decisions for the rest of his life. He didn't, did he? The man who was bestowed with the wisdom of God to judge his people didn't take long for him to lose the plot. And on his deathbed, and this can be found in Ecclesiastes, I'm just going to read what I wrote here. King Solomon tried living for his own pleasure, for his own purpose and plan. But at the end of his life, he concluded that the only worthwhile, purposeful life was a life of honor, obedience, and wisdom before the Lord. Amen. So this is a man who was bestowed with wisdom. Each one of us have a measure of wisdom, I guess. But Solomon lived a life and at the end of it all thought, I don't think I've lived out my full purpose that God wanted me to, the full plan that God had set out. I've missed it. And I don't want to get to that place in my life. And I don't believe that anyone in here would want to. So this morning, just let this message be a turning point for each one of us, including myself. That from this day that you're going to live out the purpose that God and the plan that God set in place. And if you've been putting things aside and you've had doubt in your heart up until now. Don't have it anymore, because it's not you doing what needs to be done. It's God in you, the hope of glory, like the song. It's the hope of glory within you that will cause you to conquer, will cause you to overcome, and will cause you to be a victor instead of a victim. And I want you just to talk about Moses as an example. When Moses was at the burning bush, he was out there in the back end of the wilderness, in the back end of the desert, and he has an encounter of the God kind. Who loves God kind encounters? Amen. When you have an encounter with God, you just know he's speaking to your heart and he's speaking to your life. Well, Moses had the ultimate God encounter, a burning bush. And the first words Moses said when he heard this voice was, "Here I am. Here I am." But it wasn't too long after that that things started to fall away. When God started to instruct him with his mission and to brief him on what needed to be done in the coming days and years, he said, "I don't speak very, very well. I don't know what the people are going to say when I tell them that God sent me." So immediately Moses was there, but he wasn't there. Amen. Are you there for real? Are you there that whatever God instructs you to do, that you're not going to make excuses, you're not going to allow doubt in, that whatever God instructs you, that you're going to believe that that's your purpose for life? Because, you know, you're going to say, we can pray forever and a day. Say, "Lord, what's your purpose? What's your purpose?" And he's screaming it out to us, and we're just not listening, and we're just not happy with what his purpose is because it doesn't align with ours. We need to understand that God has a purpose and a plan that will 9 times out of 10 be contrary to ours as human beings. Because of our flesh, because of our selfish desires, because of our ways, we just want to do what we want to do. There's no one in here like that. It's only me, isn't it? So we just need to look at the story of Moses here, that eventually he trusted God. God set provisions in place so he was a bit more comfortable. So Aaron would be his mouthpiece and a few more comfortable things. So God met him in the middle, as it were. And you all know the story. Moses became a great leader and led the people as the vessel of God out of bondage. Then we look at Joshua as another example, who came after Moses, that his purpose in life was to conquer. And he did. And he was instructed in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. I don't know if anyone, if we might just read that, just a quick moment. Can anyone quote that? No? That's all right, neither can I, so. It says, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." So Joshua was commissioned, he was instructed, and he fulfilled what he was instructed to do, and he fulfilled the purpose and conquered many lands. You can conquer. Joshua, unlike Moses in the beginning, Joshua had no doubts. He did what he did, and he conquered, and he was blessed as a result. Does it mean that Joshua was better bloke than Moses? No. He just had more wisdom, I guess, to listen to God and to follow his instruction. And then we take a look, and I guess that this other character of the Bible is one of my favorites, and my favorite stories, and maybe one of yours, and that is Esther. Esther had purpose. Haman plotted genocide against Israel. He had an evil plot against the nation. And at a time, at this time, like for a woman, Esther was one of the many wives or the many women in the kingdom. For this Esther to approach the king, I'm just cutting this long story short. Go and read Esther if you want to have the whole story. But to cut a long story short, Esther was born for such a time as she was. Mordecai told her. God was telling her ultimately. You're born for such a time as this. And to cut this long story short, Esther was the person who was responsible, or the vessel of God that was responsible for ensuring that the nation of Israel would continue. And the very the gallows that Haman had set up to destroy, completely finish everything off, he was hung on, because Esther didn't doubt. She had courage, just like Joshua, and just like many other men and women of the Bible. She had the courage to go, even though when she would come before that king, there was a chance she could be put to death. She was not worried. She just did what needed to be done. She knew her purpose. She fulfilled her purpose, and the outcome was victory. Amen. When you know your purpose, when you do your purpose, you will be victorious. Do you want to be victorious, or do you want to just lose? I want to be victorious. Even when it looks like I'm losing, I'm still victorious, because I serve the victor. His name is Jesus. So with Jesus, you can't lose. You ever had played a computer game when I was a kid? You could set this computer game so you had unlimited lives to play the game. Usually, Space Invaders, you'd have 3 ships or whatever, but this one you could set up and you'd have unlimited lives, and you just couldn't lose. You'd get through it because it just went on and on and on. So that's a little bit like, it's exactly what it is with Jesus. When we have Jesus in our lives, though we die, we shall live. You can't lose. The enemy can come, the accuser can come, but he can't hurt you. Esther, in her story, she could have lost, yes, but because God was on her side, because she was faithful servant of the Most High God, because she cared about God's people, she couldn't lose. She didn't lose, because God's hand was on the situation. When God's hand's on the situation, that's got to bring you peace. Amen? And the last one I just want to quickly share, the last example, and this is a good one. This is a New Testament one, and that is the Apostle Paul. He got mixed up throughout his life with his purpose. He started out religious. He started out a persecutor. He started out a judger of God's people, and throwing them in prison, consenting to the death of Stephen, consenting to the death of many Christians and the imprisonment of them. And I believe for a long time before his road to Damascus experience, he thought, that is exactly the purpose. That's my purpose. That's my purpose. But then the day come when he was knocked off that horse, he was blinded, and Ananias came to reveal and to launch and to be the vessel that would launch him into a new purpose, a new way of living, a new life divine, abiding in the vine. Amen? To a new way that he never knew before. So suddenly the persecutor became the persecuted. The legalistic nut became one that was looking from the outside now back into the Pharisaical environment and just shaking his head and saying, I'm going to count my old life as rubbish, as dung. I'm not even interested in that anymore. It was so wrong. My purpose, my plan, my blueprint back there was so wrong. But now God, through this experience that he just came in like a flood one day when I was riding on that horse, he knocked me off and woke me up to myself. I was the chief of all sinners, and now all I want to do is see sinners saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the resurrection of his life, and bringing that salvation message to everyone that I come into contact with. And we look at Paul's life. What a life. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, as far as I can see. He wrote that word that we said before in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Do you think as a Pharisee, Paul was saying rejoice? All he was interested in is knocking Christians out. He didn't have time to rejoice. He didn't have time to praise. He didn't have time to plant churches and do the things that he did. So Paul found his purpose. He assisted many others in theirs. And through God, through the God's inspired revelations and insights that we read today, he's helping you and me too. Only through the Holy Spirit. So the takeaway with Paul, when we decide to leave our old life behind and count it as rubbish and in turn embrace the new life Jesus wants to give us and so willing to offer us, we find our purpose. When we can turn away from the old life. You know, repentance means to turn away. If I was to preach my whole message like this, would that be very respectful to you? Well, I turned away. But I need to turn away from the wall and look to you, look to the people, so that I can communicate with you. So we need to turn away from our sin and look to God so we can communicate with Him. Be blessed this morning. Go out there this week and know that the Lord Jesus Christ has a purpose and a plan for each one of us. And that purpose is like a river. It's a river flowing all the time. God's got that river of purpose for your life running all the time. All you've got to do is jump in. Don't bring your little, 20 horsepower motor and try and go against the current, but flow with Him. Say, Lord, if that's what you want, that's what I'll do. I don't want to do it in myself, but that's what I'll do because I know you want me to do it. You going to do that? Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning and thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that we are here for a purpose. That purpose is to glorify your name in everything that we do. Your purpose for our lives, Father, that there'd be people in here this morning that may not know exactly what your purpose is. They may not even know what the purpose of a negative thing that's just happened in their lives. Why did it happen, Lord? What's your purpose in it? And Lord, that's only a question that you can answer for that individual. But Lord, as for me and my house, as for us in this church, we will serve the Lord. We will follow His purpose because we want to be conquerors like Joshua. We want to have the tenacity of Esther, that no matter what the danger, no matter what the risks are, we're going to go before the king. We're going to go into those places where it seems as though it could be dangerous, where it could be risky, because we know that you are with us. And Lord, we want to be like Paul, that we want to turn away from our old life and we want to embrace the new life, that it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That the old things have passed away. I'm a new creation now. Behold, all things have become new. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Touch your people this morning. Touch them every day and show them your purpose for their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.